been moved to the back burner, but it remains a decisive issue for Catholic voters, particularly in swing states, and it will likely impact that important swing vote. Robert George is the McCormick Professor of Jurisprudence and Director of the James Madison Program at Princeton University. He has served as a member of the President's Council on Bioethics and is author of several books, including his latest, Embryo in Defense of Human Life. He joins us tonight from Princeton to talk about life and the Catholic vote. Professor George, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lee. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Robbie, earlier this month, you wrote a column that has been widely quoted. In it, you cite a growing number of pro-life Catholics and evangelicals who are claiming that Barack Obama, while not pro-life, is pretty close, and that one can, in good conscience, vote for a pro-choice candidate. You say what to those arguments?
I say that they are spectacularly misguided, very, very badly wrong.
Walk us through why they're wrong.
Sure. In this particular case, we have a candidate, Senator Obama, who represents the most extreme edge of the so-called pro-choice movement. Not only does Senator Obama favor legal abortion, he favors changing our law so that there would be a public federal subsidy of abortion. In other words, the taxpayer dollars of Catholics, evangelicals, other pro-life Americans would be used to pay for abortions. This would not only be an offense against the freedom and conscience of pro-life people across the country, it would very dramatically increase the number of abortions. And to understand that, you don't need to take my word for it or the word of any other pro-life citizen. The abortion lobby itself has said that if we repeal the so-called Hyde Amendment, the legislation that protects Americans against being forced to pay for abortions through tax dollars, that it will result in many abortions taking place that do not now take place. We're talking about thousands and thousands. And they're right about that. The pro-abortion lobby is right about that. There would be many more abortions. So anyone who respects human life, who believes in the equality and dignity of all members of the human family, irrespective not only of ethnicity or race and sex, but also of age and size and stage of development, anyone who cares about the fate of our weakest and most vulnerable brothers and sisters, unborn children, simply cannot accept this idea that you can vote for a pro-choice candidate and somehow that's a pro-life thing to do.
Robbie, in the piece, you call and label Senator Obama as being pro-abortion, yet he and many of his supporters and the emails I've gotten have said, wait a minute, there is no such thing. No one is pro-abortion.
Yes, that's what they used to say about slavery in some cases. When the American nation was founded, there were people who supported legal slavery. Some of them held slaves, some of them did not hold slaves. They said that it was regrettable that we lived in a world where slavery was necessary. They didn't like slavery. They would have preferred a world in which there wasn't slavery. But they argued that slavery is built into the fabric of the country. There's no getting rid of it. If you tried to abolish it, the economic effects would be dire on the nation. Farms and other businesses that depended on slave labor would fail. And therefore, they said, regrettably, we have to have slavery. We're against abolishing it. Now, we wouldn't call those people pro-choice on the question of slavery, now, would we? And that's because we're not concerned here with choice as such. That's really not the issue. That's a distraction. That's a red herring. The question is, what is being chosen? And if the view I hold is correct, if the view taught by the great Christian tradition from its earliest days, certainly by the Catholic Church, is correct, then the choice that we're talking about here is the destruction of the life of a human being, the killing of an innocent child in the womb. And the magnitude of that injustice, when we're talking about a million plus abortions a year, the scope and magnitude of that injustice is so great that we can't hide it or obscure it or paper it over with language such as pro-choice. We're really talking about justifying widely available, publicly financed abortion. I don't call that pro-choice.
So you don't buy the argument that, put forth by some Obama supporters that by increasing the social service net, the security net, he will then enact policies that will lessen the need for abortion, thereby lowering, in the macro, the numbers of abortion in the country.
That's another bad argument, I'm afraid, Raymond. The abortion industry itself, as I've already said, has told us that the number of abortions would go up if Senator Obama gets his way and abortions are publicly subsidized with federal dollars. We have no reason to doubt the abortion industry on that. They know what they're talking about. But even if we lay that issue aside, which we should not, let's look at a comparison between the abortion rate in Sweden, which has exactly the sort of social safety net that Senator Obama wants for the United States, and compare their rate of abortion with our rate of abortion, we don't find significant differences, which tells us that you can't solve this problem. You can't save unborn babies by electing a pro-abortion candidate.
I don't
who
care.
Says that
whatever you want to do, I don't care.
Abortion and funding abortion and even knocking out pro-life laws that protect families by requiring informed consent for women, giving information about gestational development of the baby, the health consequences of abortion, laws that protect young women and families by requiring parental notification or consent. The argument is this: despite all that, this fellow is going to, by his enlightened social policies and an increased safety net, lower the number of abortions. Just isn't believable in light of the evidence that we have. Just take, for example, those parental consent and notification laws. Rigorous studies have been done by Professor Michael New of the University of Alabama, who's an excellent social scientist, and he's shown that we can account for a reduction, a considerable reduction, in the abortion rate simply by enacting laws, having enacted laws, that require parental consent and notification, laws that have been upheld by the Supreme Court as constitutionally legitimate, even under Roe versus Wade, so long as there's a judicial bypass mechanism. Those are babies being saved who will not be saved if we go Obama's way and abolish those laws. So I think the people who are making the argument that somehow the most pro-abortion candidate we've ever had in American politics, and I can defend that proposition if you'd like me to, will somehow serve best the pro-life cause, that's an illusion.
If you have a question for Robert George, you can call us 1-800-221-9460 or internationally 205-271-2980 or again, the email worldover@ewtn.com. Dr. George, I have been getting inundated with emails for weeks, really since we've been doing these kind of issue forums, from Catholics who defiantly say, who are you to tell me I can't vote for a pro-choice candidate as a Catholic and a good Catholic? I resent you telling me or these bishops telling me how to vote. You'd say what to them?
Well, I say that any citizen should vote on the basis of justice and the common good. Now, the fundamental principle of justice is this, that every human being is the bearer of a profound, inherent, and equal dignity. Every member of the human family deserves the fundamental and equal protection of the laws. So then the only question is the unborn child a member of the human family? Well, we know what the answer to that question is, and we don't need theology, we don't need the Bible, we don't need the tradition of the church to tell us. Science tells us that what is growing inside the body of a woman who is pregnant is not a potato and not a rock and not an alligator. That's a baby. That's a human being, a living member of the species Homo sapiens. One of us in the earliest stages of development. Each of us, who is now an adult, was once a fetus, just as he or she was once an adolescent, and before that, a child, and before that, an infant, then a fetus, and an embryo. What we're talking about here is the taking of innocent human life. And it's true that the Catholic Church has a position on that, and that is that in light of the equal dignity of every human being, the taking of innocent human life is not permitted, and the obligation of the law is to protect equally the lives of all human beings, because every human being possesses equal dignity.
Let's talk for a moment about embryonic stem cell research. I know Barack Obama sponsored a bill at one time that was largely regarded and indeed depicted in the media as being an anti-cloning bill. Can you shed some light on the nature of that bill and where he is, as opposed to John McCain, on this issue of stem cell research, embryonic stem cell research?
Yes, I'll be happy to do that. Now, there is one issue on which Senator McCain and Senator Obama agree, and I disagree with both of them. And that's the question of whether we should lift, we should remove, the restrictions on the use of federal money for research involving the destruction of human embryos, where the embryos are embryos that have been left in a frozen condition in assisted reproduction clinics, having been created by infertile parents who were seeking to have a baby by the process of in vitro fertilization. And once a pregnancy was achieved, then the embryos that were left over were simply left in the frozen state. Both McCain and Obama say that they would overturn President Bush's policy, which prohibits the use of federal money for research involving those embryos where those embryos are destroyed. I think we have to respect human life in all conditions, even that particular condition. But here the candidates diverge, and that's the question of cloning. Senator Obama has co-sponsored a bill which Senator McCain opposes. In fact, Senator McCain has co-sponsored an opposing bill. The bill co-sponsored by Senator Obama would authorize the industrial creation of human embryos, embryonic human beings, by cloning, and they would then be available for use in research. So we're not talking about embryos that would die anyway. We're talking about creating embryos, creating human life, specifically for the purpose of destroying it for biomedical research. In fact, this bill that authorizes this cloning is so radical that it would impose a penalty on anyone who tried to save one of those embryos that was created by cloning by implanting it in the womb of a woman, a volunteer, who was willing to accept the baby and permit the baby to grow and live. So it actually takes us to an unprecedented step of requiring the destruction of human life. We've never done anything like that, even though abortion has been legal in America under Roe versus Wade, and in some states even before that. We've never actually mandated the taking of human life. We identify that with some of the worst parts of what's going on in China with its demographic policies, but we haven't had it in the United States. The deception is to call that an anti-cloning bill. It's not an anti-cloning bill. It's an anti-life bill. It's opposed to letting the baby who's created by cloning survive. It authorizes cloning. It authorizes the process of what's called somatic cell nuclear transfer to create a new human life. Then it just mandates that it be destroyed. I'm with Senator McCain on this. McCain has co-sponsored a bill that would forbid across the United States all forms of human cloning, including creating human beings by cloning to be killed in the embryonic or fetal stages. That's very important. The death toll could dwarf that of abortion if we went down the road of cloning.
Professor George, one of the things that concerns me is why are we even talking about embryonic stem cell research when the adult stem cells seem to be the only thing producing any real results, and now you can turn back the clock on those adult stem cells and get the pluripotent, lively cells that it seems researchers are looking for. Yeah, this is a little bit like discussing the design of a rickshaw as opposed to the design of a car, right?
Well, let me just offer you a minor correction to what you've said. Essentially, what you've said is true. The great breakthroughs that we've had so far, the actual therapeutic use of stem cells, has been with adult stem cells. Adult stem cells are now being used for the treatment of many, many diseases, and there's potential for the treatment of many more. But those adult stem cells, as far as we know, and we don't know everything that there is to know yet, but as far as we know, don't have the maximum flexibility, or pluripotency to use the technical term, that so-called embryonic stem cells have. But you're right about this too, that there's a way of using adult body cells, or they don't even have to be adult body cells, they can be body cells from a child, but ordinary body cells called somatic cells, for example, a skin cell, not yet a stem cell. But it's possible to use those and reprogram them, turn back the clock, as you say, to take them back to the stem cell state, to the pluripotent state, so that they are then the equivalent, biologically, of an embryonic stem cell, but they've been created without using embryos and without destroying embryos. The great breakthrough came from a Japanese scientist, Shinya Yamanaka, who was motivated to do this because he was visiting an assisted reproduction clinic and he saw embryos created by in vitro fertilization in a microscope, and he looked at those embryos and he said, "We cannot continue killing embryos. These are just like my daughters. These were what my daughters were like when they were in the earliest stage of their lives." So he set out on the path of trying to come up with a technology that created fully pluripotent stem cells without killing embryos, and he's had a wonderful breakthrough, and I think that's the future.
Very good. Dr. Robert George, we're going to leave it there for a moment, but the World Over Live will continue with your questions. Stay right there. Much more straight ahead.